Well, hello and welcome to our 55th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast, recording on November 15th, 2021. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 11.9, WordPress 5.9 coming up to a WordPress instance near you, and then about navigation area block on full site editing and all the good things that come to WordPress. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator of the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate. And today I have two co-hosts. You all know Jagosz Falkowski and JavaScript developer at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. And our surprise guest today is Riad Benguela, one of the lead developers on Gutenberg and also code wrangler at Automattic. I'm delighted you are here with us. Ria, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Birgit. Thanks for having me. It's an honor for me to join you and Grzegorz on the show and help spread the Gutenberg love to the community.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, well, your passion for it is really contagious. When I saw you before at WordCamp US, and so when we met, you're always so nice and patiently explaining things to me. So you both on a team retreat. Where are you right now in the world, and how are you doing?
Hola, ¿qué tal? That means greetings from Spain. So I'm so happy that Riad joins us today to discuss the latest 11.9 Gutenberg plugin release and the upcoming WordPress 5.9 release.
Yeah, it's so great to be able to meet colleagues again. We're kind of learning to travel again, right?
That's true.
And yeah, I'm also so looking forward to be able to join the community on upcoming WordCamps in-person events. Like, we miss these a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I hear the one is happening in Sevilla in December. That's going to be fun.
You're going to be there in December in Sevilla?
I'm not. It's, the connection to Sevilla is bad for me. But I know that some of my colleagues from Spain will be there from Automattic.
Yeah. Personally, I'm so looking forward to WordCamp Europe in Porto in June, hopefully.
Yeah, me too. And I'm so excited. I was excited 2 years ago when it was supposed to happen, and now I'm even more excited to come to Portugal and to see everybody from Europe again. It's going to be such a great event, and I hope that all the people that are still hesitant about vaccinations, that they get the shots, also the booster shots, so we can all be together. And because I found that the in-person meeting is so much richer than even an online meeting like this. It's good to help out and kind of bridge the gap. But the in-person meeting, even with family, we visit the family for five weeks in August and September. And it was such a relief to finally be together in one room again and just hang out and go out and eat and just sit and chat. But back to here. So I just wanted to let you know that November 22 is a WordPress meetup in Montclair, New Jersey, which is a virtual meetup, and anybody can join. And I will demo the concept of full site editing, and I will also take questions AMA style, like Ask Me Anything style. And it will take place on 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. I was just going to think, is this a.m. or p.m.? Because it's 12 a.m. UTC. And if you go to meetup.com, look for WordPress Montclair in New Jersey to sign up for it. Well, of course, we will have the link in the show notes, but it would be great if you want to learn more about what's coming to WordPress 5.9 and full site editing to join us there.
And speaking of that, I would like to send props to Munir Kamal for reminding us on Twitter about the new tag that is in the WordPress Teams directory, which is called Full Site Editing. And it allows you to see all the blog teams that are already there. And it looks that we have 27 teams that are marked with this tag.
Yeah, that's great that tweeting that out, Munir. I've also seen that that's also a link that I will share again in the show notes, of course, and also in the meeting at Montclair. And some of the themes that are in there are actually universal themes. They work for classic, like a classic theme or like a block theme. So it's quite interesting to see how you can switch it over. So, but don't use them on production. Caveat, it's still a beta kind of feature. So
yeah, it's like in 1 month, everything will change.
Right, right. Everything. The whole internet's going to change. But only if you want it. Yeah, we don't want to scare anybody to upgrade to 5.9 because it's all opt-in, and it's only when you have a block theme available, the full set editing is actually available to you. So what's released in last week? We had the WordPress 5.8.2 release. It's a maintenance and security fix. And if you haven't updated yet, you definitely should do so now. Most WordPress managed hostings automatically update to a point release, but not everybody is comfortable doing that, update it. And the other release was, of course, the Gutenberg 11.9 plugin release with 223 PRs. Yes, I counted them. and they made it into the
probably
release.
The largest ever.
I also counted the PRs for WordPress 5.9, and it's actually 600 feature PRs and like 400 bug fixes. So it's like 1,000 PRs that are coming to WordPress 5.9 in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's huge. Yeah. the release.
I don't know how the community managed to do that, but yeah, it's very impressive.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for the data. Yeah. So 600 features and 400 bug fixes. That's 1,000. Wow. Yeah. And how many contributors? You don't know, but we will know in December.
Yeah, we will know. Yeah. At some point, someone will run the script that will calculate everything for us.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Right. Okay. So what's in Gutenberg 11.9?
Well, so first we start with new blocks, but they are not part of WordPress 5.9 release. They are still experimental, and they are related to the comments block, which is like, we already have one that is going to be in 5.9 release, which is called post comments. And it's basically everything you see when you go to the comments section under the post. And this one is something brand new. So we are redoing it in a way that is more granular and similar to the way how the query loop block works. So the new blocks are comment reply link, comment edit link, comment author avatar, and the comments query loop. There is also comment template. So, you know, it's like the idea is just you can combine everything, decide what you want to display and so on.
Yeah.
There is also... I was going to mention the navigation block and the work that has been performed during this release, which is an important work that was actually answering some feedback from the user testing that happened on FSE. So users were finding it a bit hard to actually reuse navigation across themes and across templates for FSE themes. So an important work went into the navigation block during this release. So now the blocks are actually saved into their own custom post type. They work like template parts, so you should be able to reuse navigation menus more easily across templates and when you switch themes. Also, the same features will allow classic themes to migrate more seamlessly into a block theme. So when you switch from a classic theme to a block theme, all your navigation should probably should be retained. Yeah, these are some important changes that are coming, and it actually was important before the beta of WordPress 5.9, which is, I think, coming tomorrow.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it needed to be in within the feature freeze, so it makes it in 5.9, and bug fixes will come probably with the next plugin release that will be backporting some of the issues. Yeah, thank you for mentioning the navigation block. I have, in the last few days, before I went to Chicago, tested some of the navigation items, and I'm glad that some made it really in there. One is the placeholder, the single placeholder for the block, where you can actually select the menu when you already have one, or add all the pages, or start an empty navigation block. And that is really helpful for users to get it all set up. What I also like, and I don't think it's in the release note now, but what also helps is that you can add the site title to the navigation or a site logo to the navigation block. So it's all kind of one unit that is on the header. That definitely spruces up the FSE. As Riyad mentioned, FSE means full site editing, and listeners will know that that referred to the full site editing outreach program that is run by Anne McCarthy. Do we have anything else? Oh, what I also like want to point out is for the responsive navigation, there is a way to get the hamburger menu out of the box with a little feature there. And you can decide if you want the hamburger menu by default also for your desktop site or just for the mobile site. And it and another tool is there that you can have the menu have a navigation, an orientation horizontal or vertical. So you could, yeah, if you wanted to put it in a column block on the left-hand side and it kind of goes down the left-hand side, like one of the default themes. I think it was 15 that had a navigation bar on the left-hand side, yeah. All right, and then we had these post comment, but it was interesting to hear that that will not come into 5.9. Thanks for pointing that out.
Because yeah, so there are two things. It's quite confusing because we had a post comments, like plural, a post comment, but also post comment singular block. So the one that has that got deprecated was the more or less what we are trying to replicate now with a comment template block, but the old one, it was just very limited and it worked more like a form that you had to provide a comment ID, which was very hard to use for users. You don't know the comment ID of your comments. So yeah,
I don't even know the post ID. Yeah. Okay.
But
yeah.
There were several enhancements to the post comments blocks that will be included also in 2022 default theme. And, you know, there were some features missing, like there were some issues with the margin inside the block. And also in some cases, when the author of the site decides to close the comments, so we should show proper messaging, or you can also on your website decide that after a certain amount of time, you can no longer comment on post anymore. So these cases are now sorted out and it should work pretty good in those situations.
Yeah, and I also see that the post comment form, that's now available for block-based theme on the post template, I would think. Yeah, excellent, excellent. Then there were some enhancements for accessibility with announcing the formatting change to screen readers, also communicate to the screen reader the post title is a text area and some other smaller fixes or enhancements there, which is in all the little things that kind of make a user experience so much richer. On the block editor, we have the enable rich previews in the link UI for the site editor. That is something that had been in the block editor for, I think, two versions of the plugin. And now it also comes to the site editor. That's a feature that when you put a link in, and a link text in a paragraph or in a navigation or wherever you need it, and you save it and then come back to it, like you come back to update the post or you just kind of continue editing it and you hover over the link, you get a rich preview with a title, a description, as well as if it's available, a feature image. So you know exactly if the link is still working or if you need to update it in your content.
Yeah, as we get closer to 5.9, the contributors worked more on parity between site editor and post editor. So they brought these features like the link preview you talk about, the save keyboard. Now you can press Command S and it triggers the saving. And they also, like, there were some discussions also about the menu item of the site editor and where we place it exactly and where it makes most sense. So for the moment, this decision has been to use editor and move it under appearance. And it's now worked that way across WordPress trunk and also the Gutenberg plugin.
Now the controversy is that under appearance, we have editor and the theme editor. So that's a confusing thing that probably needs to be further discussed among the contributors.
Yeah, I hear you there. There is a lot of editing going on. Yeah, and the theme editor for it's kind of it's really hazard, because if you change the code, because it gets you to the files of your PHP theme, and if you change a code and leave a quote out or something like that, you can actually create fatal error messages on your site, and it's very hard to get to them to fix it. So I would always suggest to take away the theme editor instead of the site editor, because the site editor is a much safer place to be for someone who is not particularly technical.
Makes me wonder if it's actually the ancestor of the site editor. Like in classic themes, you cannot edit the theme right directly. You have to edit the code. So you go to the theme editor or you edit the files manually. So now that you have the site editor, maybe we could consider removing the theme editor's UI entirely. I don't know if it makes sense anymore to have it there. Maybe some people would still need it from time to time. But is it something that the user should be exposed in by default? That's a question that can be discussed.
Yeah, I think so. You're right.
Could be left somewhere, but probably, like, you know, you need to know what to do, like, and find it in one place only in the editor or when you know the link. And the other things that maybe the only reason why we should keep that exposed is for the CSS code. Maybe at this time when not everything is covered with global styles, there are some reasons for people to use that.
Yeah, it's the same. It's a similar case with the customizer. Yeah, when you have a full site editing theme, a block based theme, the customizer itself link in the appearance menu disappears, but the customer is still available through the theme card on the theme screen. So you could still use the customizer if there's something in there that a plugin put in there that the theme doesn't have a control yet for it. And that could be a similar way to do, say, okay, full site editing theme is a block theme is active. Yeah, let's remove the theme editor for that part and see what happens, and just let the functionality be in there, but not have it in the menu. I think it would be valid to have that discussion. Yes. All right. Yeah. And then the next one, a full site editing enhancement, is the search control component that you can have inside the navigation menu. I really like that. It could use a few more controls in to kind of adjust the size of it a bit in relation to the other items in the navigation menu, but that is certainly fixable in a later version. But just having it there, it really helps.
This navigation block becomes so powerful. There are so many options, and I really like how it evolves over time, and also how it becomes easier to use with every release. It's really it came a really long way from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, the challenge always with this like powerful features is to find the balance between the good user experience and also continue adding features without deteriorating the simplicity of the block. So yeah, I think we will continue iterate on these things until we find the right balance there.
Yeah, I think the other balance is also to strike what do we want as feature parity to the previous version or the previous kind of way of doing menus, because there were quite a few extenders who extended the the menu controls through plugins and themes and all that, I'm not sure that they all have been tested and kind of migrated over. I think there's still some experience and some learning to be done, but is there a way to do it differently? Yeah. Well, and then we have Duotone component. There was only one change in the description, that the underlying image that is to which the Duotone is applied is not changed. I think that's a very important distinction, because people always fear that something changes that they don't have any control over. And there was something else in Duotone. Oh yeah, there was the Duotone now is using transparency as well. So you could have a background and a duotone and transparency and kind of have the background shine through. So it's multiple layers of features that you can put on top of it. And I will share in the show notes a video that Anne McCarthy did to kind of show you how this all works together. And she has some very neat representation of some of her photos now with the different duotones in there. You have to see it to actually appreciate it, really, and not get confused about things. But I really love it, duotone. It's almost like gradients, and I love gradients. Mm-hmm. You could do now gradients in duotone with transparency in a background on cover. So yeah, what else can you need?
There's so many customization control now available on the plugin, and the contributors keep adding more and more. And I think it's an infinite work. You can open like your imagination, and yeah, we'll just make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, Riyad, in 10 years, we will still talk about gradients and where we can apply it. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
And there is now also a change to the tools panel, which is related mostly to the setting sidebar. So the thing that changed is the typography section. So in the past, you would have a list of controls displayed at once. Now you have better control over what's displayed by default, and you can enable more controls or hide some of them when you stop using them. It's very similar to the dimension panel that's already in the plugin for quite a while. And the direction is just to give the same capabilities to all sections, so they work the same way.
Yeah, this change also used a little bit that you can actually have multiple columns in the theme, in the typography controls. When they are just small controls, you get two next to each other, and that certainly saves you some real estate or some scrolling on up and down on that. And I like it. It has a more harmonious layout there, so I like that.
Yeah, the idea with these tools panels is that we should unify how blocks show their different customization option on the sidebar. So typography uses the tools panel, color could use the tools panel. I think there is another one, dimensions could use the tools panel. So that way, no matter the block you are using, you could see similar things on the side. And if you find it too overwhelming, you could show and hide the controls you want.
Awesome. Yeah. It kind of goes a little bit towards what we have been discussing on the developer advocacy relations team, that can we have some best practices on, if somebody builds a custom block, best practices on how to distinguish between the site settings and the toolbar settings and all that. I think it's time to kind of put some of those best practices in writing so people can look it up. And we're going to work. That's part of our 2022 kind of plan, to figure that out and work with the developers on that. So consistency goes a long way in not having to figure out this for every single block or for every single type of block. How is a colors applied, gradients applied, and all that. Yeah.
So in this case, we are following what Riyad did for the block toolbar. So he created groups like for block, for formatting controls, and so on. And here we will have also those extension points for dimension, colors, typography. It's, you know, it's not still set in stone how it will end up, so we don't want to spoil the game and like introduce any hassle to the community. But once everything is ready, then we'll definitely come up with some recommendations that we'll share with the community.
Awesome. So the template editor has a template part focus mode now. That means that you can separately change the header or the footer in your site editor. There's also a post available on the Make blog /core about those editor improvements and the template part focus mode that you now can use to, when you look in the site editor, you have always the full page. But if you just want to isolate the header and just look at that, you can switch over to the template part focus mode.
The next thing is, if you're building a theme, whether it's classic or block theme, and using theme JSON, there is a small change that you could apply to your theme JSON. So for consistency, we removed some custom prefixes from some settings, like custom line height, custom margin, and custom padding, I think. So you could move to theme JSON version 2 and remove these prefixes. That way you're on the last version.
Excellent. So to do that, you need to, in your theme JSON, add a new field called version. Oh, it's not a new field, but you need to set version to number 2. And that basically enables this new updated APIs.
Yeah, and I know that there were quite a few efforts around the development team to put actually a schema up on Schema Store and have also the link be a .wordpress.org kind of link. And are those schemas already updated to the version 2? Do we know?
Oh, thank you for reminding about that. Yeah, it's done. It's ready for both blog JSON and team JSON. It's now in WordPress domain. And you remember the URL, we will show that later in the show notes. And yes, it's ready. The old one that you could use will still work because the schema in the schema store, it has very interesting configuration. So it's now referencing the new URL. So whatever you use, it will work anyway. And as we found out, someone pointed out now, I don't remember, but anyway, the thing is that even if you don't provide the dollar schema field, most of the editors will be able to recognize that based on the name of the file, and they will show you hints anyway. So you only need probably to do that for Visual Studio Code explicitly.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. There's some learning to be on the editor. So, oh, you used it once. I know where that was. See here. Yeah, excellent. Speaking of gradients, now you can show all the colors on their gradient origin in the different panels. So there's a new panel when you do site editing and color configuration, and it has the core color palette, the theme color palette, and if a user creates their own color palette, it will show there too. It's getting a little bit crowded. And I know there's also an issue posted to find a way to actually remove the core color palette, because it has so many colors, and when people use it, some theme developers or agencies definitely would want to remove that. But it's a nicer interface, but it's also because it has it has the text color, then it has 1, 2, 3, core theme and user, and then it has the background color in core theme and user colors, and then it has the link colors as well. If the theme JSON says, yeah, please use the link color scheme as well, and then it will go in there as well. And it's interesting to see. So I'm looking forward to the user feedback that we are going to get there to adjust in the next iteration there.
So one of the original reasons for this feature, like why do we introduce these different palettes, core, theme, and user, is if you think about patterns, like we have now a directory for patterns and theme could provide patterns, and we wanted to have some color in these patterns, right? And so how can we make sure that these patterns work across themes if themes change their own palette? It becomes harder. So the idea is to allow themes to still rely on core palettes. So for example, when you build a palette, you should probably only use core colors. That way it works if cross themes, if you want to publish it to the pattern directory. And yeah, in terms of UI, it's kind of crowded right now, especially in the post editor. But I think the idea is that it should get closer and closer to how it looks in the global style sidebar, which is kind of nested navigation. So the idea is that it should look like the global styles view of colors. So you will see at the high level button to go to the link color, another one to go to the background, and another one to go to the text color. And they are not shown every time, all the colors at the same time. So that way it's less crowded and it allows you to navigate more efficiently.
Yeah, yeah. And I can see that's a very good reason to have the block patterns be consistent over depending, not so much depending on the theme color scheme, but so it shows up as you see it in the preview. And I can also see to just switch off the color, the core colors in the user interface. So the pattern comes over, but the user can only use the theme and their own color to modify it and not have the core colors as well. Because the core colors also show up on other places when it's not a pattern from the repository, and using those core colors on other things that might not be wanted by the site owner or the theme author. Yeah.
Yeah, theme authors and agencies also want to control these things more strictly. So, yeah, there is some work in progress to allow actually to remove these core palettes entirely. Yeah, it's going to be, I think, sitting in theme.json and you just enable it and it's gone.
Awesome. It's all so well thought through. Excellent.
And there is now also change for the typography block support. So because we had this change, we discussed about the tools, block tools feature. So now most of the typography controls were added to the existing text blocks like heading, paragraph, and so on. And there are also some default controls enabled for them. So you just go and check those blocks and see how many new options are there now.
Yeah. It's a great variety there. Yes, indeed.
So, the next change is another change that is meant to be for WordPress 5.9. So now that global styles are actually landing in WordPress 5.9 and even the UI, some plugin developers and then some theme developers need some API to access these settings and access these styles if they want to adapt their code, for example, to check whether there's a global layout or to retrieve whether, I don't know, there's a color palette or anything, basically, any settings in or style in the global style. So a new API has been introduced. It allows you to retrieve these settings pretty easily, just a function call. You don't have to go check directly in the theme.json file or the user's settings or anything. You just get the current value. That's pretty handy. Another also global style related API that landed pretty recently is actually a REST API to retrieve global styles, modified global styles, and also the base global styles for the active theme. So this could be pretty handy for plugin and theme authors.
And regarding the API functions that were introduced, they are called get_global_settings, get_global_styles, and get_global_stylesheet. So, you know, pretty easy to remember, and expect a dev note published in a few weeks.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's the missing piece that we got quite a few questions about in the community. So having that API, public API available is now so much better. So believe it or not, we're still talking about enhancements and new features. Now we, I think there were about 80 or so in them, 73. And we didn't talk about all of them, but the bug fixes also are 73 bug fixes in this release. And some of them are very granular and and in the back end of it. But I also like that the, so one that stood out for me was that for the blocks, it fixes the relative URLs for the inline styles. So if you had a style sheet with a background color or a background image and the URL, it if it wasn't a an absolute URL, it would, but only relative, like dot, dot, slash, it wouldn't find that anymore. And that has been fixed. So quite a few developers will say, finally,
on that. The issue still exists in WordPress 5.8. And yeah, this is something we missed because it only happens for the custom blocks. And only when you opt in for the option to use those inline styles.
Good. So it wasn't all that big. Okay. So are there any other bug fixes that you wanted to mention here, Jagosh or Riyadh?
No, it's like bugs, you want to forget about them. You don't want to speak.
Well, sometimes I find it interesting to, oh, yeah, that's a bug from 2018. We finally fixed it. But yeah. I haven't seen any of those here. So, yeah. Do you want to go to the next section and talk about performance, Riyadh?
Sure. Let's speak about performance. It's actually a pretty interesting subject, and I enjoy working on performance a lot. So on the editor team, we have these metrics we keep track of over time, like the loading time, the typing time, and we keep adding new metrics every time. And the interesting one that was worked on during this release was the list view. We added a new metric to measure how the editor performs while the list view is open. And the list view is pretty powerful to navigate the editor, but since it shows a long list of blocks, it can create some performance issues sometimes. So a new technique has been used during this release. It's called windowing techniques for the technical folks listening to us. Basically, it means like the list that is currently visible is rendered, but all the remaining items on the list are actually hidden and not rendered at all unless you scroll the list and show them. Historically, we've been avoiding this kind of solutions because they could have some accessibility issues, and also it is very hard to get right. But thanks to the work of contributors, I think Kerry worked on this a lot, we now have a solution that we think works pretty well and doesn't introduce any accessibility problems. So now I would invite you to test this, and if there are any issues, please let us know.
So, well, thank you. And yes, indeed, the list view is one of the most powerful tools that will come revamped to WordPress 5.9. But going back to performance, I know that you also had this check, and we talked about it on the show before, where you had, I don't know, 30,000 blocks in a post to kind of see the performance of it and measure it from between the different versions. How many blocks do you have in the list view to test this?
Oh, that's actually, we use the exact same post, which I think it's, I don't remember exactly, but yeah, I think it's 1,000 of block or something like that. It's a very long post. You can find it on the Gutenberg repository. You can search for largepost.html, and it's actually executed automatically in the CI. And every time we check the numbers, and on each release post, you can go to the bottom of the post and you see there's a table that is there that compares the current release with the previous release and also the current release with the previous WordPress release. So that's how we keep track of these things. We also have a separate website which I think at the moment is not working, but I promise I'll fix it very soon, where you see the evolution of the different metrics over time for each actual commit. So that way we can pretty easily find the exact commits that introduced performance regressions.
Yeah, I saw yesterday that React was going back in time and checking the performance for WordPress 5.6 and other major releases. And maybe do you have those results? Because I was pretty excited hearing how it changes.
Yeah, I do have results. I think loading time improved quite a bit from WordPress 5.7 and to WordPress 5.8. And in WordPress 5.9, it improves a little bit as well, like 200 milliseconds or 300 milliseconds out of 3.5 seconds. The typing time also improved. I think it improved by 20% or something from WordPress 5.8 and WordPress 5.9. The other metric that improved a lot between these two versions is inserter opening. We did a lot of work there. And now when you open the inserter, it's actually quite snappy compared to how it was in the previous version. There is also another one. So the only metric that I think we need to work on a little bit more for this release is block selection. This one lost like 10%. We lost 10% time on it. But I think we can improve this one and do better there. For the inserter, it's actually quite impressive because at some point in the inserter, we had collapsible panels. So we didn't show a lot of things at the same time. When you open the inserter and there's collapsible panels, it should open quick, right? And now we show everything at once. So there's a lot of things, but we still managed to make it fast. So I'm pretty proud about
that. That's impressive. Yes. Yeah. Because now we have in the inserter, we don't only have the core blocks, but we also have the theme blocks in there. And then also block patterns, a tab, and then another reusable block tab. Yeah. Your website, Riyadh, I think you shared the link at one point, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And you also did performance testing with plugins. Is that a different project or is that pretty much the same kind of performance?
Yeah, so what I did is I was curious to check actually whether if I enable plugin or not, how it impacts the editor's performance. So I actually use the exact same metrics. We have these coded up in the plugin, so I can just run the test, enable the plugin, change the plugin and run the test again, right? And then compare the numbers. Actually, I also spent some time with some plugin authors too, because in the initial run, I had some issues there and I saw some plugins impacted a lot. And I was very happy to see that they were all pretty receptive and we did some work together. And in the end, I will say the major plugins right now are doing good enough. I think that we can always do better, but we are doing good enough. And I actually encourage plugin authors to check the post if they didn't see it, because there are instructions to check their own plugins to see how their own plugin impact the editor performance. Because sometimes we get reports that the editor is very slow. I cannot use the editor or whatever when I type, it's very slow. And sometimes we cannot do anything about it. So we have to check all the possible reasons that could cause this. And plugins can be a reason. So it's important for both plugin authors and users to be aware of it.
Well, that's good to know. I think I will come back to you and kind of talk about this, or at least get all the information for the show notes, but also maybe have a blog post about it that's a little bit more prominent, so people can, because now more and more people are going to use or come on board with adopting Gutenberg, and having that resource available is really, really helpful. All right. Well, thank you, Riyadh, for that little excursion into performance. So
I'm always happy to dive there. It's my, I don't know, my personal favorite feature or favorite
aspect
topic,
yeah.
I would say. Yeah. Favorite topic. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're at the documentation section of the changelog. And there were two things that stood out amongst typo changes and improving landing pages and all that. One was the block schema and documentation has changed, or not has changed particularly, but it's better documented in terms of the block JSON. And that's the follows the same process as the theme JSON does, right? Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, so the view is a new API option in block JSON that will allow authors to provide JavaScript code that's going to be executed only in the front end and only when the block is rendered there. So it's pretty handy thing. And the other change is because we are preparing to WordPress 5.9, so both features are for the upcoming major WordPress release, is that style and editor style, there will be possibility to define more than one style sheet. And the reason for that is twofold. First, sometimes there are some styles that blog author would like to apply to more than one blog. So this is a way to share them through using style handle. And the other reason is that plugin authors, they also want to add their own styles in a batch mode. So instead of doing some their own magic, they can just use the existing APIs and inject that to all the blogs they want.
Like, I like that. Instead of your own magic, use core magic. Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks for letting us know. So there are also some features. Of course, the theme JSON documentation has been updated with missing settings and styles. That is also in preparation of 5.9 and the version change there.
And I see that there was link added to, for ways to keep up with Gutenberg and full site editing. I suspect that it's it's like the link is to your resources that you keep up to date.
Keeping up with Gutenberg, yeah.
Yeah. So that's great to see it finally happening because it's the best page to look at.
And if you are listening to this show and don't know what Jagos is talking about, there's in the handbook on core on the Make blog under references, there is a page called Keeping Up with Gutenberg, and it's an index page with all the blog posts from the teams that work on Gutenberg in a chronological order. So it's, and it starts from the newest to the oldest, but it's per year. So we started that in 2020 in June. So the last half of 2020 is in the 2020 post or page. And this year, November, we're coming up to the end of the year. So we have all the, be it the editor meetings, what the theme team does, the design team published the tests and the summary of the tests from the FSC program and all the other related posts. So you don't have to, because I started that because the core Make blog, within a day or two, you have to scroll to the third or fourth page to find something that was published yesterday. So, and it was really interesting to do that. So Keeping Up with Gutenberg Index. You can actually Google that now, Keeping Up with Gutenberg, and it comes up first. All right. So is there anything else in the changelog? Oh, yeah. We have under tool sections, we have some FSE backport in core.
Yeah, that's another kind of magic. Basically, like on each WordPress release, we need to backport all the changes that are on the Gutenberg plugin and include them into core. Maybe a lot of people don't know that, but that's a lot of work and that's a lot of invisible work. We do that in two separate ways. Basically, the JavaScript changes are more automatic. So we do a package, NPM package release, and then we include them in core. But we also need to check all the PHP changes that happened in the Gutenberg plugin and move them into core. And sometimes when we do that, some problems happen. For example, a function that exists in the Gutenberg plugin can exist at the same time on core. So on this small period of time, we need to make some adaptation to both code base to ensure they work together. So there a lot of changes on this Gutenberg release are related to that. Yeah, and yeah, I want to send kudos to Robert, the editor tech lead for this release. He did an awesome job to make sure everyone is on the same page and works to make sure all the changes are on WordPress trunk at the right moment.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. So I think unless Jagos has something.
Yeah, I have something in the code quality section. Mm-hmm. It has 25 items, so that's great that we still remember about that aspect of work in the light of the upcoming release and, you know, all the work caused by that. So there is a new API endpoint that it looks like is going to be included in the WordPress core, is it right, React? So this one is called the WP Block Editor V1 URL dash details. This one is for the link previews. So this one is getting stable. So that's something that looks like also plugin authors will be able to use to do whatever they need with that.
Indeed, that could be useful to show previews or get more information about URLs and exploit that in very different ways for plugin authors.
Yeah, that feature is such a small feature when you think about it, but it has so much power that it could definitely be explored quite a bit for plugin authors and even do a list of all the links, this week's links kind of thing, and then collect them all. Might be a good use case. All right. Yeah, so that's pretty much it with our Gutenberg changelog this week. Thank you, Riad and Jagesh, get us through it. I think before I have only one thing that I wanted to, so where is WordPress 5.9 now headed? What are the next steps?
I think so, as we mentioned, tomorrow is November 16th, so it's the release of WordPress 5.9 beta 1. I think that's the best time for people to test. It's so I'm asking everyone, just go download WordPress 5.9. It is the start of a new era with full site editing and block themes and all global styles and all navigation on all these features. So go grab your copy, install a block theme, and just try things and try to break it and just tell us what goes wrong. And we have a number of weeks to fix all the bug fixes. And yeah, we're looking forward to your feedback on that.
Excellent. Yeah. I just also want to point out there is a WordPress beta tester plugin in the repository, so you don't have to install all that. So you just make it a WordPress, normal WordPress install, and then install the plugin for WordPress beta tester plugin. And the stream would be the point release instead of the daily trunk. But if you are brave, you could also do the daily trunk. There are actually core committers there are core committers who actually have run trunk on their personal blogs. They're quite brave in doing that. So yeah, beta 1 is tomorrow, November 16th, and then a week later, supposedly beta 2. The first release candidate is scheduled. And of course, that all depends on what the testers bring on back to us or to the team. Release candidate, we normally, sometimes there's beta 3 and beta 4, depending on how that all works. But then there's a release candidate 1 is scheduled for November 30th. And that's also the date where the field guide with the dev notes come out, and where the about page is done, and also the release post is draft, and there's a hard string freeze, means there is no bug fixing anymore. And there's not a whole lot of that can go in there in a release candidate after a release candidate is available. And then there will be a dry run for the releasing WordPress 5.9 in the 24-hour code freeze on December 13th. But if you want to be part of the release party, that's going to happen December 14th in the Slack channel of Core.
And something it's else I wanted to mention about WordPress 5.9 is the dev nodes. So after beta 1, you can expect a list of dev nodes on the make core, and you should check out. And if you are a plugin author or an agency or WordPress developer, update your core accordingly if there are changes, and also use the new APIs.
Wonderful. Thank you for a reminder of that.
You can also subscribe to the Gutenberg Changelog newsletter and get the list with all the links from directly from Birgit.
Thank you for making a pitch on the Gutenberg Times again. That's awesome. So, and if you need instructions on how to test full site editing, there's a testing call. So Anne McCarthy published a test call for the full site editing outreach program. That's for the non-techie people who are using site builder or page builders to build sites for others. And it's called the Site Editing Safari, and you get different scenarios that you can follow along with instructions on how to test this.
Because also with zebras, giraffes, and elephants.
What about Chrome and Firefox? Is it just a safari?
Good point. No, safari is like the African safari with the giraffes and the rhinos and everything. So one scenario is personalize your homepage and setting your styles, add some button patterns and use some of the layout controls for that. One set of instructions also is how to add a dual filter and the single post template. Those test instructions are actually also quite nicely to use for exploring the new interface on a more scripted schedule. So you don't have to come up with ideas on how to test it. So you just use those. And it really helps if you would comment on that post on the make blog, on the test blog by November 30th. And then what normally happens is after a week or so, the feedback comes in and then Anne writes a summary for the developers working on it so they can see what else need to be changed. Or she also puts issues together for the GitHub repository if there are bugs coming out.
I also want to mention one more thing. So the release date, December 14, it reminded me that it's also the day when the State of the World 2021 will be delivered by the WordPress project's co-founder, Matt Mullenweg.
Excellent. Yes, yes. And that is scheduled for, I think it's noon Eastern, which is dinner time in Central Europe.
Yeah, so it's 10 a.m., between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern time. And 5 p.m. UTC, which means at my place, it would be 6 p.m. Central European time.
Excellent. I'm glad we got it all in. Yes. And there is, so on the wordpress.org/news, there's actually a call for questions because the State of the World is normally about 45 minutes when Matt Mullenweg walks us through the last year and what's coming up in the next year. And then the next 30 minutes or so will be answering questions from the community. And there is some instructions on the wordpress.org/news post, instructions on how to, you can send them via video and how to get them to the people who help preparing for the State of the World. All right, with that, that's a very good time to end it. If you like our shows, help us spreading the word by adding a review to your favorite podcast directory. If you have news or suggestions or questions, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com via email, changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And you can always also reach us via Twitter. So my Twitter handle is @bph. Jagosz is gziolo. G-Z-I-O-L-O. And then Riyadh's Twitter handle is Riyadh Benguela. And we will, of course, share that all in the show notes. So it was wonderful to have you both here. Thank you, Riyadh, for joining us. How do you feel about it?
Thank you. I really enjoyed the show, and thank you for having me. And please do continue to spread the Gutenberg word.
All right. We'll do.
Yeah,
we'll
that
do.
Was fun, yeah, to have great fun. Fiat on the show. Was like,
yeah.
Probably that was the best episode ever. We had so much fun together.
Yeah, we did. All right. Okay, well, let's just get out of here for more fun. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us. And I say goodbye until the next time.